The last sermon that I spoke, it was, we were in lockdown, and I was standing over there and I was preaching out of Romans, and again today I'm going to preach out of Romans. So if you've got your Bible, jump into Romans. We're going to go to Romans 5, and I'm going to speak out of there. I've been doing a little bit of a series in my own head, and it's all about just how great God is, and Romans, you know, Romans is one of those, probably the most spoken chapter in the book as far as verses that we just draw upon daily. But before we begin, I'll just pray. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come around your word this morning. And we thank you that we can just declare your goodness and declare your faithfulness and declare who you are in worship, Lord. And we thank you that the team so beautifully just led us into your throne room this morning. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. You're welcome just to speak and to move on each heart and life this morning in a way that only you can, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray as I open my mouth, there'll be less of me and more of your words this morning, Lord. Would you have your way? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I've been sensing the last few Sundays, it's just been incredible just to get back together. And, you know, like I enjoy online church a bit, but I enjoy far more getting together and seeing people around. So it's been great to just come and worship together and come around the Word. So it's been really, really great. And as I said, I want to preach out of Romans 5 this morning. And what I'm trying to do as I open the book of Romans is just to speak to our hearts and speak to the things that we need to sometimes be reminded of about Christ, what he's done in our lives. You know, I reckon Romans probably got the most quoted verses in all of the scriptures. And if you apply it to your heart, I actually believe that there can be life change in and through you. So today, as I said, if you've got a Bible, go to Romans 5. We're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to read through to verse 8 this morning. So Romans 5, 1 through to 8. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and as I was preparing this sermon over the last few days, I actually have a sense in my spirit that some just need to grab hold of that notion of peace. And it's a peace that you know, God's got a peace that you've never experienced before. It's not just a peace that's occasional. It's not just a peace that's temporary. It's not just an ambience or a smoke or a music. You see, there's a peace that he wants to place in your heart today. And I can tell you, when you get a taste for that, everything changes. You know, verse 2, I'm getting my chapters and verses wrong today. Please forgive me. But verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast. You see, some translations, they say, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. You see, there isn't a religion in the world or a faith in the world that says that line, you know, that we can rejoice in our sufferings. It's unique to Christianity. You see, James would say, consider it a pure joy when you go through trials of any kinds. You see, there's not a lot of faith on the planet that would actually have the premise that you could experience joy and suffering. You see, it's an unbelievable notion. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love is being poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, he demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when I was preparing this message throughout the week, I probably read through this passage, half a dozen, 15 times, I'm not really sure. I was just chewing it over, and I read it, and as I read it, and as I read it, and every time I read it, I got something new. You see, the richness of this passage, you could spend a whole lifetime or a whole time trying to unpack it, trying to understand it. But fundamentally, here is the main thing. And then maybe if you only hear one thing today, because I know what our attention spans are. I'm a teacher. I work with kids, and most of us can last about 7 minutes, and then we get sidetracked and something will pop up. But here's the main thing, the fundamental thing, if you could grab hold of it this morning, grab hold of this one thing. You see, everything in Christianity is meant to be experienced and encountered. You see, our Christian faith, it's not a doctrine that we merely adhere to. It's not a bunch of beliefs that we ascribe to, and it's not some understanding that we mentally agree with. Everything in our faith is meant to be experienced and encountered. You see that long list that Paul just said, that when we as humans, we have to experience it. You have to grab hold of it. You see, you can have peace today. You can experience, or you can encounter His grace today. You can experience and encounter a burden being lifted off your shoulders. You can experience standing in the throne room of God. You see, all of that is real. It's fundamentally what we believe. And I was thinking about this throughout the week. You know, like, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Like, today's not the greatest day, but I know some Sunday mornings you wake up and it's a beautiful day outside. And my mind goes to, woo, it's great fishing weather. You know, like, why do we do this? Why do people, why does Cairns get here at 9 a.m. and start tuning the guitar? Why does Trev get here and go and do the communion emblems at 9 a.m. or Sandra start tinkling on the keys or Nat get in the car at 8:30 and drive here to be here by 9 a.m. You know, like, why do we do that? You know, like, why? Why? You know, is it because we're bored? Is it because we don't like lawn bowls, so we thought we'd join another social group and this is it? No. We do this because it's real. We do this because it's something to be experienced. You know, His love is to be encountered. And if you have one moment with God, His peace just floods your heart, then everything that Paul is saying is true. And everything in your life can change. You know, that song Trev showed years ago, just one touch from the King changes everything, you see. And it's an encounter with Him that changes everything. Changes everything. You see, it was my birthday a few months ago. And as I'm getting older, I tend to enjoy those low-key birthdays. And one thing that I love is, or one thing about me, I've got a strong sense of smell. Those that know me, and I love fragrances. And usually, home buy me some form of a fragrance, and this birthday she did, and it's such a nice. It's always the same one, but it's such a nice fragrance. Feel free, you know, to come up afterwards and have a. If anyone's walking by and I say, I know what you're doing. Okay, it's okay. Probably this side, probably spray a little bit more on that side. So if you're gonna have a sniff, probably do that side, but maybe not straight after the sermon, because I do sweat a little bit throughout a sermon. So hopefully. But anyway, I love fragrances. I love fragrances, and I don't know why, but I just do, and I love it. But what I actually love, I love reading about fragrances as well. You see, I've written down a few names or a few things that have been said about fragrances, and I'm actually going to read a few to you. You know, listen to this one. This is what it said on the bottle. So this is what I'm reading, the descriptive terminology of fragrances. It's a crisp and lively aquatic splash of woody marine freshness. You know, like, have you ever experienced woody marine freshness? You know, like, you've ever been at the ocean. Jody's up the back and Scotty, and I know they love to go to the ocean. But I don't think they've ever gone to the ocean and Scotty said, "Hey, Jody, I detect a lively burst of woody marine freshness." You know, like it's not in our vocabulary. It's not used in our language. Here's another one. This magnetic fragrance expert fuses the aromatic seduction of cedar with the intensity of musk and amber. You know, like, what does amber smell like? I might be the only one, but I thought amber was a colour. No, but apparently I'm wrong. You see, I actually love that someone's got this job to describe fragrances. That's someone's job. They're paid to do that. And what I actually like about that is they're actually paid to do that. You know, this week we had a conference here throughout the week. And we were at home. I think I might have turned it off myself. But this week we were at a conference, and what we did for an evening was we went up to the club and we had dinner together. And I this conversation between Banjo and Trev, his pop. His Banjo saying, "Hey Pop, did you get me any sauce?" And Trev's response was, "Yeah, mate, I got you some sheer sauce, some really, really hot sauce. So that's coming with your chicken nuggets and chips." And when the meal arrives, you've got these three boys, Banjo, Mikey and Finn. They're there and they're licking this sauce. And they were adamant that chilies were in it. And Trev walks over and, you know, like, "Nah, just tomato sauce, boys." They were adamant. You know, it's this big inception that was planted in their brain, you know. "I can taste the chilies," Mikey said. And Banjo's, "I can taste the chilies." But no, you can't. You know, it's just this inception. And if you read the bottle of a fragrance, you'll never know what it smells like. And today, I just feel this in this text that we're looking at. Some of us, we might be reading the Bible, or we might be reading the label of Christianity. And we've been reading it for a long time. But have you ever tasted it? Have you ever experienced it? Or maybe you have a long time ago, and God just wants to move on your heart afresh so you can have a fresh encounter, because we know one touch from Him, one moment from Him changes everything. Changes everything. You see, you may be wanting to experience His peace afresh. Experience that peace that He has for you. You're not experiencing that, but you can. You can. You see, if you read this text statically, and you never cross over the line of faith, you won't experience what it means to be a true follower of Christ. You won't experience that true peace that He has for you. You won't experience that hope that He has in your heart. You won't experience all of what Paul is describing when he says to stand in the throne room of heaven touched by His grace. You see, I'm convinced that we need more of the things of God. We don't need more of things, or we don't need more information. We don't need more of that. We need more encounters with Him. And now hear my heart when I say that, because I'm not saying we run after feeling to feeling to feeling. I'm not saying that at all, because we know your feelings will play tricks on you. But what I am saying is this: when you go after an encounter, because it's an encounter that you experience with Him, and the reality of God's love will wash your heart. And what Paul is talking about is everything in your world will change. Everything. You see, Tone and I, we like to go driving constantly. I reckon if you were to come past our house between 6 and 10 o'clock at night, one of the cars won't be there, and we'll probably just be driving, probably past your houses, just driving around town, talking, chatting, catching up. And it's something we did before we had kids, and we kind of try to keep the tradition going. And now there seems to be an ice cream trip in there as well, with the kids saying, "Can we have an ice cream?" So we can keep them quiet while we catch up and just chat and whatnot. And anyway, we were driving around, and the other day we were talking about some things that we'd seen and we'd observed on Facebook, and people's posts and different things that they'd had. And we were actually talking about some people that we'd known years ago that were on fire for God, who were adamant that He was the one true God. And for whatever reason, you know, things had changed in their world. And we were talking about this notion of encountering God, and when you experience God's love, and when you experience His peace, and when you experience His joy, and when He just grabs hold of your heart and washes over your life, how can you not say he's true? You know, like when I see a sunset, how can you not say he is true? When you see a flower just growing, I don't know, there's beauty all around us and it just echoes the reality of who God is. It just echoes who he is. And I understand this, and there's one thing that I know. There's one thing that I've learned throughout my life is not everybody gets a breakthrough, and people still deal with stuff, and people have things that go on and in their world, and things are just not fair sometimes, and I get all of that. But what I believe changes everything. What I believe is that the one thing that makes a difference in those is those who have encountered the love of God and those who choose to keep their hearts soft towards God. And this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit might start stirring a fresh desire in your heart to maybe go after a fresh encounter. And this morning, we're going to finish around a time of communion. And as we come around that time of communion, would you go after a fresh encounter? This morning, my prayer is that you'll be in a healthy place of uncomfortability to press into God's heart afresh. Because this morning I actually feel that he's got something for each of us. You see, our faith is meant to be experienced. It's meant to be encountered. And what's interesting about Paul writing for the Roman church is if we took the time to go back through the previous four chapters, we'd notice a difference in the pronouns that he's using. You see, he starts off by saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for anyone who believes." He starts in the first chapter to talk about I. And then he says, they have been given over to a deprived mind because they thought that God wasn't worth their time. You see, essentially that's what they're saying. And he goes from the I to the they. And then he goes to the you. You are not like that. You should be better. And you, though you're a Jew, you. So he goes from I to they to you. But then he gets here and he goes, we. We have been justified. We've been brought in by faith. You see, I'm convinced that the largest and the richest element of experiencing Christian faith is experiencing community. Experiencing community. That's why I love that we can get back together and we're not just online, because there's something special about experiencing community together. You see, most people think they can just stay in chapter 1, but you can't just stay there. You've got to get to chapter 5. And then he says, now we are standing in this grace. We are experiencing this newfound peace in our hearts. You see, that's why Christian community is so fundamental. That's why you've got to sometimes, and I know what this is like, some mornings it's like this in our household. Sometimes you've just got to drag your body to church, literally. You've just got to take your body out to the car and you've got to somehow manage to put your body in there, start the car and drive to church and drag yourself in. But what I do know is when we come together, we experience God together, things just shift. You see, three times in this text he says to rejoice. In fact, the wording is different. He says, we glory in our sufferings. We glory in our hope. We glory in this peace that is available to us. And it's his word, rejoiced, used three times here in only 11 verses. You see, something about encountering God and his glory and his power actually places a deep joy in every one of us. That is beyond our circumstances. You see, in our life, in our world right now, you know, we're so starved of joy. And if we have any little skerrick of joy, we just want to grab hold of it. And we're a sort of this binge culture. You see, this last week, whilst conference was on, Mel had put a bowl of Minties down the back. You know, as you come in, there was a bowl of Minties. And it was just left out on the bench. You know, and I've got no doubt she knew the reality, but Mel probably thought, I'll put this much in there because that will last till tonight. You know, we're starting at 1 and we're going till 9. And she didn't want to fill it up throughout the day, so she's putting this pile of Minties there. And I'm guilty of this, and I know other people were. You didn't really need to go to the toilet, but you wanted a Minty or two on the way, so you'd just walk out and just get a handful on the way past. You know, and by 1:30, that bowl was empty. You see, like that bowl was, they just grab a handful and then they grab a handful and they grab a handful back and forth, and we have a little piece of something and it doesn't satisfy us for long, but we go after more of it, we go after more of it. And in this text, Paul is actually saying that you can have deep joy even if you're suffering. You can have deep joy even in the most difficult of circumstances. You can deeply rejoice even if your life isn't going the way that you want it to right now. You see, this is unique to the Christian faith. You see, every other faith you've heard me ever talk about, but essentially every other faith is, in one sense, says if you can follow the path and you can get it right by being a good person, then you enter the door of life and then you enter into good things. But see, Christianity says exactly the opposite. It says go through the door so you can follow the path. Why is this? Because everything about Christianity is not based on your performance or my performance, but somebody else's. You see, all of the resources are available because of Him. And there's deep joy. Rejoice, the glory in it, because of Him. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this kind of peace is an objective peace because it's a newfound status with God. But it's also a subjective. It's experienced in your heart. And we have to understand it on two fronts, that actually, objectively, we put our faith in Jesus, we now have peace with God. But at the very same time, that peace then floods our hearts, and that peace is something to be experienced and encountered. That peace is something. You see, that peace is a picture of His presence. You see, the Hebrew understanding of peace is not a lack of conflict or the absence of violence. You see, the Hebrew understanding of peace is always about presence. Not presence like gift, but presence. Presence, you know, this works in your home. You don't want the absence of conflict. You don't want the absence of fighting. You want the presence of something else. Otherwise, you've got this truce relationship. You know, I don't know if you've ever lived in that, or you've ever outworked that truce relationship with God. Some of us, you could have this understanding that as long as I don't do bad things, it'll all be okay. But I could never be in a relationship where God actually likes me and God actually wants to bless me and God actually wants to be near to me. Can I tell you that peace with God is objectively true? That means there is no conflict between you and God. But there is peace now that fills your hearts. Subjectively, because He fills you with His presence. And we often think that peace is a volatile kind of peace. We often think that peace is only available to certain people, or that peace is only determined by how well I did this week, or how well I outworked that, or whatever it may be. But understand what He says here is we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is true of Jesus now is true of you and though whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see, that word for access is a very unique Greek word, only used three times in the New Testament and only by the Apostle Paul. And he says that we've gained access into this grace in which we now stand. In fact, there's another rendering of that Greek word which would rather than access, it would actually mean introduction. And actually means that we have been introduced into this grace in which we now stand. In fact, if we were to take some time, it means that this introduction is our unfitness to enter, but our need to be brought in by someone else. You see, this introduction or access was always used to speak of someone entering into the king's presence. You see, in the those of us that understand this, in the ancient times, ancient history would work. You'd never just stroll in to the king's presence. If you did that, you'd get your head chopped off. An unfortunate day, but actually, to go into the king's presence, you always had to be introduced. Someone actually does the hard work. Someone does the relational work first and does the introduction, so you merely need to stand there. You see, this is the picture that we've been given, that we're actually introduced into the presence of God. We're actually introduced into the throne room of God by Jesus, smoothing out all of those relational connections. You see, I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but sometimes I find myself a little bit awkward when I'm trying to introduce myself to someone. Remember this one time, I had a conference or something, I was with a group of people and this person came over and she introduced himself and he said, "Hey, my name's Tom." And I got things all flipped around and I said, "Hi, my name's Tom, nice to meet you, Jeremy." You know, like, and then it was really especially awkward because everyone laughed and walked away and just left me there to try and clean up my mess. But you know, have you ever done that? Every now and then when we get to those introductions with people, something just happens and for whatever reason. You know, I remember this time when Tone and I lived in Brisbane. You know, we used to go to Chermside Mall. Anyway, we were walking through this Chermside Mall and I looked up ahead and I saw Mal Meninga standing there. I've got a few stories of this nature. Anyway, I saw Mal Meninga there and I remember as a kid, Canberra Raiders, like I love my NRL, Canberra Raiders were a high-flying team and Mal Meninga was this big, beefy person that would just run over the top of everyone. I remember this grand final, he'd broken his arm and he had this cast on and just this tough man. Well, I saw him there. I could see him over there and I was like, I'm going to go over and get his signature and just say, "Hey, how are you?" But what had actually happened was as I was following him, as I was stalking him, I suppose you could say, and just following on behind him, not close enough that he'd know that something's going on or there's this weird person following him, but far enough back. But anyway, he went to this ATM and I just thought, I'll just stand behind the ATM. And it kind of got a bit freaky because I'm sitting there going and Tane's like, "Stop being weird, just say hello. Say hello, stop being weird." You know, long story short, I finally grew up the confidence to say, "Hey, I got a signature," and whatever else. And, you know, it was super, super awkward. Super awkward. You know, like, he signed that piece of paper, really nice bloke, had a quick chat to him and whatever else. You know, and I was sat back, and at the time I was thinking, how silly. Like, another time, I used to work at Campbell's Cash and Carry in Queensland, and anyone used to think, like, I'm Jeremy Campbell. "Oh, you must be the owner's boss." No, I'm not. Anyway, I worked there. It was just a big, like, store that actually serviced IGAs. So we would just pack up all the deliveries for the IGAs and off we'd go. Well, anyway, it was open to the public as well, and you could buy things in bulk. Anyway, I was sitting in there one day, and this day, for whatever reason, I didn't normally do the checkout. I normally just walked around and just collected things. But anyway, this day, Tommy Radonikis walked in. And I remember going, "Tommy Radonikis, oh my goodness." You know, like, and my brother-in-laws, Josh and Al, they were Tigers fans, and Tommy Radonikis is a Magpie player. So I was like, "Right, Al, I've got to get a signature." I said, pushed everyone aside, I'll do the checkout. You know, and anyway, I'm trying to get the confidence to say, "Hey, this is my name. Can I please get an autograph?" My brother-in-laws are mad, crazy Tigers fans. Anyway, it was, again, super awkward. So awkward. It was like, I don't know why it was so awkward. So awkward. And anyway, it's so much easier when someone actually makes the introduction for you. You know, "G'day, this is Jeremy. He's okay." Like, he's not stalking you, Tommy Radonikis or Mal Meninga. He's a good person. "Come on over here, Jeremy." You know, like, it's so much easier when that happens. Like, I'm never one at conferences, I might look at the speaker and go, "Wow." But I'm never one that just walks up and, "Hey, whoever you are, this is who I am." You know, like, it's really awkward for me. I might be the only one and I might be talking to myself. But it's really hard for me. But it's so much easier if someone was there to arrange the introduction, to give me the intro, say, "He's not a weirdo. He's got a real job. He's a nice person. He's not crazy. Come on over here," sort of scenario. You know, but in these stories, I had to do it on my own. And if you take these really silly analogies, really silly stories, but you apply it to what it's like to enter the presence of God, I've got to tell you that we need an introduction. We need Jesus to arrange the introduction. We need Jesus to actually say, here he is. Well, here she is. He or she does some things that aren't great. She tries really hard, but I died for her and I love her and bring her into the presence of a living God. You see, I can tell you, I don't know about you, but I need an introduction. Paul is saying we've gained access into the presence of God to receive hope, to stand in His grace. Why? Because Jesus has given us access. Jesus has brought us in. Jesus has made the introduction. But what's interesting, he says, into this grace in which we now stand. It's important to know that right now you're sitting, thank you, but you're standing in His grace. You're actually standing in the presence into His grace in which we now stand. Why is this important? Because Jesus makes the introduction and Jesus brings you in. And just because you've had a week that didn't go to script or just because you got grumpy at your kids and said some things you wish you never said, whatever it may be, just because you had a moment and you thought I didn't really do that well, and no, you're standing in His presence. Just because you had a silly thought, whatever it may be, no, you're standing in His presence. You're standing in His presence. And even as I was preparing this over the last few days, and as I was sitting back and reflecting on this, you know, my heart just went to something around that sometimes we can feel like we get kicked out. You know, sometimes we can feel like that with whatever's happened, and we know that grace and peace that's available. Yes, it's available right now. No one's been kicked out. Doesn't matter what week you've had. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter. No, you're standing in His grace. He wanted me to remind you that you're standing in His grace. You know, like so much so that I was nearly going to burst into that song, I'm Still Standing. Do you know that one? I won't. I'll save you. Scotty knows it. Come on, Scotty, sing it out. No, I'm still standing. Yeah. Anyway, you're standing in His grace. You're standing in His grace. And I don't know if I'm talking to you today, but I know that there's people in this place that God wants to give you a mindset shift. That you, doesn't matter what you do, you're never removed. No, you're standing in His grace. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Yeah, don't get me wrong, God wants us to change and God wants us to shift. Yes, He does. He wants us to grow in maturity. Yes, He does. Does He want you to have breakthrough in those areas that we're discussing? Yes, He does. But you're standing in His grace, because when you stand in His grace, that's where you grow and that's where you change. You know, sometimes we think we can get it right. When we don't get it right, we get kicked out. No. The only place to change is inside His grace. It's the only place you can change as you stand in His grace. That's when things happen. That's when things change. You've got to develop a security in your heart that we don't get punted, we don't get kicked out. No, we stand in His grace. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, only Christianity says that we rejoice in our sufferings. Now, what the word suffering, it actually means pressure. We rejoice in our pressure because pressure produces perseverance. Too many puts there. Pressure produces perseverance and character. And character produces hope. You see, can I tell you, you need all of those things to grow in your character. But only Christianity says that God actually uses our pressure. Most other faiths say that pressure is because you've done the wrong thing. I haven't got it right. No, in the economy of God, pressure and suffering is never wasted. And we do our best in our lives to avoid difficulty, to avoid hardship, to avoid pressure. But I can tell you, we have to move from a place of thinking that pressure is bad and suffering is bad. You know, suffering isn't great. You don't go looking for it. That'd be weird if you did. But does He use it every single time? Because suffering or pressure combined with perseverance and character produces hope. You see, think about it like this. A silly analogy again. You know, if you wanted to make scrambled eggs, you know, one of my favorite versions of eggs, scrambled eggs. If you want to need that, you need a number of things. You need eggs and maybe milk. But if you just mix those together, you haven't produced scrambled eggs. What scrambled eggs need is they need heat, because it produces something that was not there before. Can I tell you in the Christian faith that when you have pressure combined with perseverance and character, something is produced called hope, which is not naturally occurring in and of itself. The only way to increase your hope levels is by understanding that pressure is not a bad thing as long as you're mixing it with the right things, which is character and perseverance. And so we keep avoiding things on this equation. We avoid hardship. We avoid difficulty. We think suffering is bad. And if you want to make eggs that are scrambled, you're going to need a bit of pressure. You're going to need a bit of heat, because something is going to make something better, make something good. So I can tell you, if you're in a pressure right now, he's going to make something good. And so often we avoid it. You see, Paul is saying, in my life is constantly under pressure. Paul says, I have a thorn in my flesh. But guess what? I get to experience more of his grace in my life, more of his presence in my life. You see, I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning and in this place you try to avoid pressure. I know I do. You try to make out things that are causing, you try to take out things that are causing difficulty. Could it be God using the heat to make something new? Now I'm going to get Nat, Kez and the team to come and join us. I'll get Toby and Jan if they hand out the communion emblems. We're going to come around a communion table as I close. You see, verse 5 it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us once again." Pull it on, as it's in an experiential term. You see, do you notice the language that he uses there? "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." We have the Holy Spirit, but his love is being poured out into our hearts. So what is actually happening there, you notice the language is that the Holy Spirit is not being poured out. The Holy Spirit has already been given what is being poured out, God's love. God's love is being poured out, but his love that is being poured out is not being poured out onto our hearts, it's being poured out into our hearts. Into our hearts. It's like, what am I trying to uncomplicate the old scrambled eggs analogy? At the end of the day, the primary function of the Holy Spirit in your life is to ensure that you have a continual flow of the supply of God's love. Because if you have that, you can face anything. You see, poured into, not onto. You see, at school, we have to do swim school once a year. Anyway, you know, one of the jobs I usually do is I'll stand there like a Nazi to go, "Right, yeah, you're going to put some sunscreen on, because I'm not sending you home to your parents burnt." Anyway, the kids, what they do is they get a blob of sunscreen, and this just must be a kid thing, and they just smear it. Smear it. Everything's white, and that's how they know. You know, and the teacher, whether it be me or someone, they tell them, no, you don't just put it on your skin. You've got to rub it in. You've got to rub it in, because otherwise when the waves come, when the water comes, it just washes straight off. You know, and that teacher, they're absolutely right. And some of us allow the love of God to go on to us, but it's just on our hearts. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to take God's love, he wants to press it into your heart. And I can tell you, when you live from a place of continual flow of the love of God pressed into your heart, when you live from a place where you're allowing the Holy Spirit to continually press his love into your heart, you can face anything. You can face anything. I know this. You can experience deep joy. You can stand peaceful in the midst of chaos. You know, boy, do we need that right now. You can stand in his grace even when you know the week that you had, you're not kicked out, Because when you have that continual flow of love, you don't need things to give you temporary joy. You don't need affirmation from other people to try and make it in life. You all of a sudden become someone who's secure in the love that God has for you. I'm going to close with this, and as we come around the communion table this morning. You see, most nights before I'm preaching, so last night was no different, I go into my study area, the lounge room, and I put on my noise-canceling headphones because usually Tone and the kids are in bed. And every single time I play these songs and just declare who God is. Declare His love. I've already done my sermon. I've already got it sorted. I just read over my notes and just play some worship and just worship and pray. And this song that I'm going to get Nat and the team to lead, it's like been on repeat in my heart. And as we come around the communion table, you know, you might need peace afresh. It's this song that says, I worship you, Almighty God. I worship you, Almighty God. So in a moment, I'm going to get us to stand. And I just had this sense last night, before I speak or before I share or before we do church or whatever it may be, that I've got to know, regardless of my performance, regardless of my articulation or how the day goes or the response or if people like it or not, whatever it is, first and foremost, I've got to experience His love. I've got to know that regardless, He loves me first, and it's from that deep place that we all have to live. So as we stand to our feet, we've got our emblems. I've got this sense as they play this song, as they just play it a few times. Sorry for being emotional. But I feel that God wants to pour His love out afresh on your heart this morning. You know, it's true. You know it. You know it. You know He loves you. You mentally know it. But is it just settling onto your heart? Or do you reckon maybe you might want to pour it into your heart afresh? Because we know in just one moment, things can change. I want us to just press deeper into His love this morning. Allow His love to be pressed deeper in our hearts. You know, we've had this period of craziness. The last 18 months, things have happened. The world's gone crazy. But what I do know is when we have a continual flow of His love pressed into our hearts, we can be His hands and feet. We can respond in a way where we're speaking truth and life because we've got this continual flow of His joy, continual flow of His peace, continual flow of His love. And this morning He wants to do that around the communion table. I just love the communion table where it just speaks of free access because of what He's done. You see, that access to that peace is because of Him. That access to this love is because of Him. That access to grace is because of Him. Nothing's about us. It's about Him. All about Him. But having more of His love poured into your heart, because that fills your heart with love and hope. And then hope does not disappoint. So let's stand and Nat and the team. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can just worship You this morning, Lord. We just worship You. And as we worship You this morning, by Your Holy Spirit, would You give us a continual flow, fresh flow of Your love this morning. A fresh flow of Your love this morning. Would You pour it out afresh on each heart and each mind this morning? Those that need peace, would You pour it out in abundance? Those that need joy, would You pour it out in abundance? Those that just need to be reminded of Your grace, Would you pour it out in abundance? Whatever it may be. Lord, as we worship you, would you pour it out afresh? We just praise you and we just worship you and we just thank you for this morning.